I finished my evening lesson on Friday, and I sent that to Glenn, and he normally posts that on the website pretty quickly. Friday night, however, we had a get-together of several members over at the Dawsons. And there was a lot of games being played, and that has caused me to have to change my sermon. I saw four women playing cards. And somewhere in the midst of all that was a $10 bill. Now, I don't know about all that. We need some teaching, folks. I'm telling you. I'm going to pass that info on to Wayne, and I'm going to let him cover the subject. I'm just kidding. We had a good time. We appreciate the Dawsons having us over. They had about 20 or 30 folks over there and had a good time. I got to be careful because I was in the midst of some of them games. And, you know, turnabout's fair play, they say. We're glad you're here. We're thankful that those who are visiting are here with us, and we appreciate your attendance. There are some who come from Valdosta, and folks, they are regular churchgoers, you know, and it doesn't matter whether they're in Valdosta or here, they're going to attend church services, and that's the way it ought to be. Vacation is not a vacation from God. I know that the term means vacate, but we don't vacate our responsibilities when we go off, and we need to be faithful to our God, and we're appreciative of them. The Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sermons that has ever been preached, and it was preached by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It has been studied. It has been preached. It has been memorized. And it has literally changed the lives of millions of individuals since the day that it was proclaimed. In October, I am scheduled to preach a lesson on the Sermon on the Mount at the Spiritual Sword Lectureship, so I was reviewing that sermon from a total standpoint, and as I was reading it and studying it, there was something very interesting that came to my mind. In Jesus' sermon, he makes mention of both heaven and hell. He makes mention of the positive motivator, our reward in heaven. And he makes mention of that negative motivator, our eternal destruction in hell. The word heaven is mentioned 16 times in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus makes mention of the word reward 4 times in a positive way, speaking of our reward in heaven. He makes mention of the word life 1 time in reference to eternal life. He mentions hell 3 times in that lesson, and he makes mention of the word destruction 1 time. There is a very familiar passage which makes mention of both destruction and life, and it is found in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Heaven and hell. Life and destruction. My friends, those are the only two eternal destinies that can await mankind. There is no in between. And the life that you and I are living right now involves our making a choice for one of those two destinies. Now, before you choose, it might be wise if you honestly examine the two destinies. Place those two destinies side by side. Make a comparison between the two and then make your choice. So tonight, that is what we want to do. We want to contrast these two destinies. For you see, my friends, these are our only two options. When you examine heaven and hell, first of all, you see that each of them is going to contain a very prominent figure, a well-known figure. In that place called hell, there's going to be a well-known being who is going to be therein. And that being is none other than Satan himself. My friends, hell was prepared specifically for that being, was it not? According to Matthew 25, verse 41, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, we read of the devil's being placed in that eternal abode. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they are tormented day and night forever. So yes, hell is a place where there's a prominent figure, Satan himself. Now, there is something we need to point out. When Satan is in hell, he will not be ruling that place. My friends, that is not a place of his domain. It is not his kingdom over which he is ruling and reigning. Oh no. Hell for Satan is nothing more than a place of punishment, just like it is for all the wicked and evil. And then there's that place called heaven. Does it not contain a very prominent figure as well? Absolutely. None other than the Son of the Living God. Amen. The Bible declares this in Revelation 21, verse 23. And there shall be no curse there, but the throne of God and of the Lamb are in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. What a blessing, folks. They shall see his face, and his name shall be written upon their foreheads. Just think, in heaven, you're going to be able to cast your eyes upon the Son of the Living God. You're going to see his face. Now, we may mention a while ago that hell is not Satan's domain. It is not his kingdom. It is not his place of reigning. But not so for the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is still going to be sitting upon the throne of God. And it is there that he's going to be victorious. It is there that he is going to have defeated every enemy that ever faced him. Now, make your choice. You want to go to hell and be there with Satan? Or do you want to go to heaven and be there with the Son of God? Amen. Remember, there's only what? Two options. That's it. Let's go to point number two, the environment. The environment. Hell has an environment, folks, just like heaven has an environment. What is the environment that we see when it comes to hell? If you die and go to hell, you are going to enter into an environment that is referred to as outer darkness. As I was studying that phrase, outer darkness, something very interesting came to me as I was doing my research. And folks, if you've got a concordance, doesn't take you long to see what I'm talking about. Go and study the phrase. Guess what? It's only found three times in the entirety of the Bible. And every time, guess who makes mention of it? Matthew. That's interesting to me. Luke doesn't mention it. Mark doesn't mention it. John doesn't mention it. Only Matthew. Now remember, Matthew is a Jewish writer writing to who? Writing to Jews. So undoubtedly, somehow, some way, the Jews understood this place of outer darkness. We need to do a little study on that, don't we? We need to find out what it was that was peculiar with the Jew and outer darkness. I do know this, there are at least three ways that hell can be referred to as a place of outer darkness. Number one, it is going to be a place where there is no moon and where there is no sun, folks. There is no physical light that is going to be shining in it at all. Secondly, this place is going to be outer darkness because there is not the glorious presence of God and of the Son to lighten it. And thirdly, it is a dark place because of the kind of people, the kind of characters that are going to inhabit that particular realm. It is dark. You know, there are several times in the Bible that God places a curse upon something by means of darkness, isn't there? There's at least two, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. Do you remember that one of the plagues upon the land of Egypt was what? Total, complete darkness. Folks, that darkness settled upon that nation so great and so heavy that those individuals didn't even want to get out of bed. And then do you remember the darkness that fell upon the land of Palestine around the city of Jerusalem at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? My friends, darkness in the Bible is never associated with that which is positive. And when you talk about going to hell, you're talking about going to a place where there is nothing but darkness. That's all. But what about heaven? Oh, a totally different place, is it not? The Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 23... that in that city there is no sun, neither any moon. Why? For God is the light thereof, and the Lamb lighteneth that place. No sun, no moon, but guess what? No darkness. Can you imagine a being who is so spectacular, so glorious, so splendorous, that he can't illuminate a place called heaven? Folks, I've seen some individuals who can illuminate a room, haven't you? They walk into that room and they shine and they laugh and they've got this great personality. But guess what? Turn out the light. And the only way you're going to see them is if they smile. You know that? That illumination stops when there is no light. Isn't that right? But not so with God. Turn out the lights. Cast out the moon, the sun, and the stars. And God still shines, folks. I don't know about you, but the last week's been kind of miserable in Florida. You know what? I was told this is sunny Florida. I'm learning better. Heard a guy the other day talking to a lady at the dentist office, and he said, you know, how would you like to live in this up in Washington and Oregon, where it's like that about 200 or 300 days a year? And she said, boy, I'd be depressed. Which place do you want, folks? Isn't that the question? Do you want that place where the environment is outer darkness, or do you want that place where the environment is light? Light from the glorious presence of the Almighty God. There's only two options. Point number three, the amenities. Kathleen and I, a long time ago, bought a timeshare. Don't do that. But we did. You'll pay for that joker every day of your life, and you can't sell it, and your kids don't want it. It's a burden, okay? But we bought one. So we try to use it every now and then. I'm not as good as she is on doing all the reservations and stuff, but I love to get in that book, and I love to look at the places. And what I do is I get down to the bottom, and guess what it says? Amenities. I want to see what the amenities are, don't you? Because you see, the amenities are the things that make that place either comfortable or uncomfortable. I look in that book and I see a place and it says, ocean front, beach access. Man, that's what I want. I want to walk out of that building. I want to walk right out there onto the ocean. Some of them, you'll open it up and it'll say this, ocean, 2.2 miles. I am not walking or driving my car 2.2 miles to the ocean. Not when I got a timeshare. But you see, it's the amenities that make a place either comfortable or uncomfortable, right? I ask you a question. What is the amenity that is found in hell? It's one word. Fire. Isn't that right? Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25, verse 46. Just a moment ago, Jess read for us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, 43 through 48. I don't know if you listen closely to the reading. In that particular text, Jesus is talking about our repentance in this life. My friends, it is better for us to cut off a member and go into life maimed than it is to keep that member that keeps us in sin and go where? Go into the fires of hell. Five times in that text, Jesus says this, where the fire is not quenched. I don't want to go to a place of unquenchable fire, do you? And let me tell you something. I sure don't want to be the fuel for the fire. Because that is exactly what is going to transpire, folks. It's not a matter of just being there, near the fire. I'm going to be in the fire. And that fire will never, ever be quenched. Whatever is in it cannot be burned up. Oh yes, it'll burn, but it will not be burned up. Can that happen? Happened at the burning bush, did it not? It is that fire that causes that place to be so discomforting. You remember the rich man who died? The Bible says that when he died, he lifted up his eyes, being where? In torment. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Folks, don't tell me you're not going to be in it. You're going to be a part of it. I am tormented in this flame, writhing in anguish and pain and agony. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, 11 through 13, there is a description of those who worship the beast and the false prophet, those who have his name upon their foreheads. The Bible says that those individuals are cast into that lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And the Bible also declares that the fire of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Now listen to this. And there is no rest, day or night. No rest. It's agonizing, isn't it? To go to bed in the evenings, and toss and turn and toss and turn, and wake up the next morning just beat to death. Not 1 ounce of sleep. That's agony, folks. And you awake the next night and guess what? You go through it all again. That is exactly what hell will involve. There is no rest there. But what about heaven? What are the amenities? Folks, the amenities are both comfort and rest, are they not? I love to be driving down the road and see a big sign that says, "Comfort and rest here." When I'm tired, that's where I want to go. Don't you? Remember that rich man a while ago crying out unto Father Abraham to send Lazarus Do you remember what Abraham said in response to him? Son, rememberest that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things. Now listen, now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Luke 16, verse 25. What is there? There is comfort, folks. One of the things that I find interesting in John's book called Revelation is all of these things that he's constantly seeing in heaven or hearing in heaven. In Revelation 14, 13, he says this, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may," what? "Rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Comfort and rest in that place called heaven. There's the two options, right? Which one do you want? Do you want a place of fire and torment and unrest day and night forever and ever? Or would you like to curl up in the bosom of Abraham and rest from your labors? You see, my friends, there's only what? Two options. Point number four, the population. Each one of these places have a population there. They have individuals who are there. Not just that prominent figure, but a lot of people who are there. Die and go to hell, and guess what? You're going to be around. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. Wicked, evil, nasty, violent, ungodly, abusive, abrasive, uncaring individuals in that place called hell. Just die and go there. Sounds like a place that's lovely, isn't it? Sounds like where we're living now, doesn't it? In a lot of respects. But what about heaven? The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 24, that the nations of the saved shall walk therein. Folks, we're talking about kind, good, loving, gentle, righteous, holy, pure, giving, caring people in that place, aren't we? Matthew 25, there's the judgment scene. Beginning about verse 31, the Bible says that the king returns and he's sitting upon his throne and all nations are gathered before him. He begins the separation process, separating some on the right hand, some on the left. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Goats are on the left hand, sheep are on the right. And then he speaks. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came unto me. Folks, what kind of people is he talking about? He's talking about people who care about humanity, isn't he? He's talking about people who, when they see others suffering, guess what? There is compassion poured out on those individuals. He is talking about individuals who have a deep love for other people. He is talking about those who are willing to spend themselves on behalf of others, willing to minister to every one of their needs. It is that kind of an individual who's going to inherit heaven. What a place. What a group of people to be around. Now you tell me, when you die, where do you want to go? You want to go to that place of evil, wicked people? Or you want to go to that place where people love and care and are concerned about humanity? Totally different population. Point number five. Let's talk about the activity of these two places briefly. You see, when you get there, there's going to be things going on. You know it? You're going to be doing a few things. And there's two huge things that are going to be done, one in one place and one in the other place. You die and go to hell, and guess what? You're going to wake up in torments. You're going to wake up in outer darkness, and guess what you're going to do? Boo-hoo. Isn't that right? And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I never have liked to cry. You know what? Just not a fun thing to me. I don't plan days to do it. I think I just cry on Thursday. Do you? Don't do that. I've never done that. Folks, crying is sad, isn't it? And the Bible says it's not just going to be crying, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, verse 30. That's another interesting phrase that we need to study. You know, it's only used five times in the Bible. Four in Matthew, one in Luke, and that's it. Find that's interesting. Need to do a little research. Why is that, you see? But I do know that when you get there, all you're going to do is weep and cry and moan and shed tears. That's all you're going to do. Constantly. But not so in heaven, right? Remember the five-talent man and the two-talent man? Double those talents, the Lord comes back. He holds them accountable. They come before Him showing all that they've done. And what does He say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the what? No, the joy of thy Lord. The joy of thy Lord. Folks, there's not going to be any weeping in heaven. There's not going to be any crying in heaven. I hear this argument. You know, if my loved ones are lost, how can I be happy in heaven? I don't know, but somehow you will. Because there's no tears there, right? God shall wipe away what? All tears from their eyes. You're not going to cry there. You're not going to be concerned about those individuals there. My friends, you and I are going to stand in the presence of God and we are going to praise His holy name. Did you know that? And I heard a voice from the throne saying, praise our God, all ye saints and all ye that fear Him, both small and great. Revelation 19:5. My friends, you and I will stand around the throne of God giving thanks and praise and honor to His glorious name. What a tremendous difference, isn't it? You talk about our only two options, and you can make this statement. They are bipolar in nature, aren't they? Because they couldn't be farther from one another at all, could they? You got Jesus, or you've got who? Satan. That's it. That's the only two options you got. You've got outer darkness or you've got light. Those are your only two options. You've got discomfort and torment or you've got comfort and rest. That is the only two options. You've got wickedness and filth and corruption or you've got righteousness and holiness and love, don't you? My friends, you'll either be weeping or you'll be shouting for joy. Those are the only two options. Now, I want you to stop really and think about something. I'm trying to sell you a vacation, right? You really want to go on a vacation? Well, how about this? You going whether you want to go or not. Because you see, folks, we're going to this place whether we want to go or not, right? And so I present to you all those bad things. And I present this other place all these good things. Now I ask you, which one are you going to choose? I know what you're going to choose. Unless you're just plumb crazy. Folks, there's only two options. And guess what? You and I choose one of the two, don't we? And if you die and go to hell, it'll be because you earned it. Isn't that right? Amen. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. You earned it. You deserve to go there. But if you choose to go to heaven, it will be because of God's gift of grace to you in the last day, won't it? And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible's clear. There's two options. Which one do you really want? Which one are you heading to? Folks, do you remember what Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount? He encourages us. He exhorts us as to which one to choose, doesn't He? What did He say? Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's the one to go through. Not the other one. Where are you heading, folks? Maybe you're a Christian. You made a detour on your path toward life, and you need to turn around and go back the other way, folks, before it's eternally too late. Maybe you're not a Christian, not a child of God. You're on that broad way which leads to destruction. My friends, we're going to one of those two places. Jesus has made it where we can stop all that. He's paid the debt for our sins. I don't have to buy into that debt. I don't have to pay that debt. He's done that if I'll allow Him. I've got to believe in Him as the Son of God. I've got to repent of my sins. I've got to confess His precious name before men. And I must be baptized for the remission of my sins. And after that, I've got to live faithfully unto death. And the nations of the saved shall walk in it. Are you going to be there? You need to respond as together we stand and sing.